Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entricken.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entricken, a.k.a. KC Bubba. You can find me on the Twitter at BDEntrick, B-D-E-N-T-R-E-K. Hope you all had a great Thursday. Only four games, even with one rainout. So not a lot going on there. Got a full 15 games on Friday to have some fun. I look forward to. But let's recap the few things that did take place on Thursday. This might be a quicker episode than usual, so let's rock and roll. Mentioned that rainout on Thursday. Marlins Cubs, game one of their four-game series in Wrigley was rained out. It'll be made up as a split doubleheader on Saturday. So it's one game, the matinee game on Friday, doubleheader Saturday. So it looks like Jameson, Taillon, and Puck move to Friday. Everyone just gets moved back a day in their starts, essentially, except for Sunday, business as usual. Cubs did make some more moves. It's kind of ironic after building up Hayden Wesneski. Hayden Wesneski goes back to AAA. Wesneski and Miles Mastrobioni both head back to AAA as Jameson Taillon was activated from the IL. He's scheduled to pitch on Friday now instead of Thursday. And Patrick Wisdom returning from the IL for the Chicago Cubs, adding even more thump to that team. Nick Madrigal's been getting tons of playing time, and so has Christopher Morel at third base. I'd imagine Morel keeps his gig, and Wisdom's just a off-the-bench dude. But, yeah, time will tell on that one. Rafael Devers is just something every time. It's like the shoulder issue. Apparently he's over that. We'll see. You know, he tweaked his knee a couple days ago, looked gimpy on Wednesday when he was playing. Thursday, Devers sat out with the knee injury, had an MRI. MRI results showed a bone bruise, so nothing too seriously, apparently. Devers is day-to-day. The Red Sox are saying Rafael Devers will not need an IL stint. I think he sits most of the weekend. We'll wait and see on this one with Devers, but he's banged up. Between the shoulder and the knee, dude just needs to rest because we need Devers for the long term of the season. Tyler O'Neill, the Red Sox, after the last 2 days, the Red Sox saying Tyler O'Neill doesn't have a concussion. He's passing the test, just feels woozy and whatnot. Well, on Thursday, Tyler O'Neill was placed on the seven-day concussion IL with a concussion. So we'll see what goes on there. But O'Neill's eligible to return from the IL on April 23rd. Rob Refsnyder was activated from the IL to take O'Neill's spot on the roster. Boston also brought up reliever Cam Boozer from AAA, 31-year-old Cam Boozer from AAA. He's been outstanding in 6 2/3 innings, 4 appearances out of the bullpen for Pawtucket. Boozer has 15 strikeouts and 2 earned runs over those 6 2/3 innings. The lefty has been great. Well, that's a much-needed depth to that Red Sox bullpen. A weird one on Thursday, like a note comes out early in the day. Paul Skeens will not be called up to pitch Friday's game for the Pirates because they have an opening, which we'll get to shortly. But it kind of seems strange because no one really thought Paul Skeens is ready to get called up the way they've been treating Paul Skeens. So then a report comes out midday that the Pirates think Paul Skeens needs to be stretched out and get ready to get called up. He's not ready yet. Okay. Paul Skeens throws Thursday night in his AAA start, throws 3 1/3 innings, throws 65 pitches, strikes out 8, and they yank him. So they didn't really stretch him out, which is like, what are we doing here? Are we going to stretch him out? Are we not stretch him out? What are we doing, Pirates? So for now, Paul Skeens dominates AAA, throwing most of his pitches over 100 miles an hour, and hopefully doesn't need surgery anytime soon. I'd mentioned the Pirates need a pitcher on Friday, and that'll be one Quinn Priester, one of the big-time prospects, made a couple starts last year, did not look great in the big leagues with the Pirates, but, you know, young pitcher, learning his way. It happens. He'll get another shot here on Friday. Through 3 starts so far in AAA, Priester has a 3.95 ERA, but he has 20 Ks and 13 2/3 innings. He's been quite effective at AAA. Priester will face Boston on Friday with maybe no Rafael Devers, no O'Neill for sure. And if all goes well and Priester stays in the rotation, he'll face Milwaukee next week. He's got a really nice looking lineup with Oakland and company the following week if he really sticks around. You know, people thought Priester would have a spot in the rotation all of last year. It didn't work out, so maybe this is what he needs to get going. Josh Lowe of the Tampa Bay Rays was scheduled to start his rehab assignment on Thursday at AAA, but the game was rained out. Lowe only had 3 at-bats in spring training this year, so the length of his rehab assignment will largely be dictated by his ability to get comfortable and ready for game-time speed. Lowe, like most players, say it shouldn't take long, but ask J.D. Martinez, we know how that goes. Tristan McKenzie, we kind of all had an idea on this, but a lot more was discussed on Thursday. Tristan McKenzie is pitching with a torn UCL. Now, most pitchers have some sort of tear in their UCL. It sounds like Tristan's got a full-on torn UCL that he declined to have surgery on in 2023. Like, we saw him rehab it and come back. He had one good start, then he couldn't get control and was bad in his second start. Comes back, has a couple okay starts in the spring, and then here to start the season, Tristan McKenzie has been horrific. So he's going to keep powering through it. McKenzie's actually scheduled to pitch on Friday, so we'll see how that goes. But it feels like it's not when, it's if McKenzie's going to have to go to the IL and have said surgery to fix this situation. Aroldis Chapman of the Pittsburgh Pirates was suspended 2 games for his altercation with an umpire on Monday's game against the Mets. He can appeal the suspension. No word on what he's going to do just yet. So we might lose Chapman for a few games this weekend, who's been very formidable in the back end of that Pittsburgh bullpen, especially with Bednar's struggles. Walker Buehler was supposed to return from the IL this week. His last start got cut short due to a line drive back to the mound. So he made a rehab start on Thursday, got cut short again. Buehler went 2 2/3 innings in Thursday's rehab start. He did throw 68 pitches, which is great, but the goal was to have him throw 80 to 85 pitches. And also, only half of those 68 pitches, 34, were for strikes, so control was not on Buehler's side as well. So there's a chance Buehler only another rehab start to get stretched out to the Dodgers' liking before they recall him. We'll know more when Dave Roberts gives us his words of wisdom on Friday. Brent Rooker of the Oakland Athletics is eligible to come off the IL on Friday with his rib cartilage injury that he had, and appears that will happen as Darrell Hernandez was sent back to AAA for the A's. We know Rooker's got that power upside, but we'll see where the playing time is with the also-powerful bat of one Estuary Ruiz. Then Ryan Nelson of the Arizona Diamondbacks left after 2 innings in his start on Thursday night. Ryan Nelson took a line drive off his throwing elbow in the second inning. He finished the play at first and ran straight in the locker room after that. After the game, the D-back said it's just a elbow contusion, which is good to see, but more news likely to come on Friday for Ryan Nelson. Logan Allen came out of the bullpen and threw really well for the D-backs to keep them in the game until the Giants blew it open in the 8th. All right, before we talk about some highlights from the day and look ahead to Friday, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Inchkin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Some hitting highlights. There wasn't a lot on this small 4-game day. We'll go Jonah Heim, 2 for 5 with a home run, a run scored, and 2 RBIs. Heim's picking up where he left off. Last year, he's one of the best offensive catchers in fantasy. So far this season, Heim's hitting .279, 3 homers, 7 runs scored, 15 RBIs, and a stolen base. Heim had like over 90 RBIs, I think, last year. Just crushing baseballs. I'll give you an exact number here. But most are like, oh, there's no way Heim can do that again, especially at the catcher's position, yada, yada. In fact, he's got 15 ribbies already this year. It's pretty impressive. Yeah, he had 95 RBIs last year, which for a catcher is just pretty unheard of. So great start to trying to duplicate that for Mr. Heim. Riley Green of the Detroit Tigers went 2 for 4 with a double, a triple, 2 runs scored, an RBI, and a walk. We know Green missed most a good chunk of 2023 battling injuries, hoping things get back to normal. He's hitting .239 on the season here. 8 extra base hits for Green, 3 of which are home runs, which is good to see. He scored 13 runs and driven in 8. Josh Smith or Josh H. Smith, depends on how you like it, for the Texas Rangers, went 1-for-3 with 2 runs scored and a walk on Thursday. Smith's been the primary third baseman since Josh Jung hit the IL. And Smith, you know, doesn't light the world on fire, but he's hitting .320, which is outstanding. No homers, no steals on the season, but 9 runs scored, 10 RBIs, a little bit of everything. And he's currently riding a 7-game hitting streak, and Smith has also hit safely in 14 of the last 16 games. So if you're looking for batting average and some run production and a depleted third base position, Smith is definitely viable in most formats. To get all things hitting and hitting highlights from the day, make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article on pitcherlist.com. Some starting pitching highlights from a 4-game Thursday slate. Ryan Pepiot, one of the better outings on the day. 6 innings, 1 earned, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts for Pepiot. He had 17 whiffs and a 32% CSW on 92 pitches. That's outstanding for Pepiot, and he's been outstanding to start the season. In 4 games, 2-2 record, the 4.37 ERA is not ideal, but a 3.44 xFIP looks good for Pepiot. And more importantly, 27 strikeouts in 22 and two-thirds innings pitched. Kenta Maeda, not good, not good at all. 2 2/3 innings, 5 earned, 7 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts for Maeda. He had 5 whiffs and a 25% CSW on only 63 pitches. In Maeda's 4 starts this year, he has a 7.64 ERA, 12 strikeouts, and 17 and a third innings. Maeda is pretty much cuttable in all formats for me. Jack Leiter made his debut. He'll be looking forward to a second start to make things right. Leiter went 3 2/3, 7 earned, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. Looked really good in the first inning. Boom goes the dynamite after that for Leiter. He did have 10 whiffs and a 28% CSW on 85 pitches. Make sure you tune into the Plus Pitch podcast with Nick Pollock and read his daily SP roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. Relief pitching highlights from Thursday. Colin Poche picked up his second save of the year as Pete Fairbanks got the day off, rightfully and understandably so. Kirby Yates picked up his second save of the year and of the week. If you're one of the people that fabbed him over the weekend, you've got 2 saves and a win this week from Kirby Yates. I'd say if you did that, you're winning on this one. Then Emmanuel Clase picked up his 5th save of the year for the Guardians. Make sure you read the Daily Reliever Ranks article on pitcherlist.com for all things relief pitching. All right, let's look ahead to Friday's action on the diamond. Again, 15 games. You have a Wrigley matinee. You got a couple 6 Eastern games, and they have a 10-game main slate starting at 7.05 p.m. Eastern time. Pitchers I'm looking to target here, Yoshinobu Yamamoto versus the New York Mets. Yamamoto, he's given up all of his damage in 2 starts against the Padres. His other 2 starts, 0 earned runs. Let's see if he can keep the trend going versus the Mets. Freddy Peralta versus St. Louis. Peralta's been outstanding, well over 30% strikeout rate and K to walk rate to start the season. Swinging strike rates through the roof. Peralta's been outstanding. Joe Ryan versus Detroit, big time strikeout stuff from Ryan. Only 2 walks on the year for Joe Ryan, so love that. Joe Boyle, if you're looking for some value versus Cleveland. Cleveland doesn't strike out a lot, but Boyle could be interesting for his price point. And Yael Rodriguez of the Blue Jays will get his second appearance, likely another 3 to 4 innings. That's why he's so cheap, but you never know. Might be able to make something work out there. For the bats, we've got Coors Field, Seattle versus Dakota Hudson, Colorado versus Emerson Hancock, both very live in this one. Atlanta versus Andrew Heaney, Baltimore versus Alec Marsh, and Oakland versus Tristan McKenzie. Things I'm looking forward to on Friday, Garrett Crochet versus Spencer Turnbull. Can Crochet bounce back after his first bad start? He went 4 2/3, 5 runs against the Reds in Chicago, but did still strike out 10, which is great. Now you get this Philadelphia team. And you got Turnbull, who's been awesome this year. Taiwan Walker's coming back. See how this one plays out with Crochet and Turnbull. Justin Verlander returns to face on the Nationals versus Mackenzie Gore. Love seeing what Gore's done to improve this season. At the same time, Verlander's debut. Verlander's given up 11 runs over 7 2/3 minor league innings so far since he is coming back. Jack Flaherty versus Joe Ryan. Again, mentioned how good Ryan's been. Flaherty hasn't been half bad as well, so looking forward to seeing how that plays out. Looking forward to Yariel Rodriguez's second appearance versus the Padres. And last but not least, we got 2 of Boris's clients that signed late. We got Jomo making his debut for the D-backs, Jordan Montgomery versus Blake Snell. Snell just got lit up in his last start, 7 runs against the Tampa Bay Rays in 4 innings. And you got Jordan Montgomery making his debut. He's given up 9 runs over 7 2/3 rehab innings in AAA. So that'll be fun to see which direction that goes. But that'll do it, folks. Another episode of the First Pitch podcast in the books. Before I head on out of here, make sure y'all go to pitcherlist.com, PL Pro, PL Plus. You won't regret it. Sign up, support the cause, and you'll get in this awesome Discord, tons of baseball and fantasy baseball content and more. You get PLV Plus. You'll get next weekend Fab starting pitching podcast and much, much more coming down the pipeline at PitcherList, PL Pro, and PL Plus. Go sign up. Again, you won't regret it. All right, that'll do it, folks. Jake Crumpler will be here to cover the weekend episodes for you. I'll be back to get you ready for another week of baseball on Monday. But for now, this was your First Pitch Podcast, Friday, April 19th edition. Hope you all have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.